Welcome to the Kindle Chronicles, the Friday podcast all about your Kindle. I'm Len Edgerly, and this is episode 59 on Friday, September 4, 2009. Back in Cambridge, Massachusetts, after a brief trip to Denver this week for some condo board association work. I didn't get a chance to get out to the river today for some rowing, but I'm really looking forward to getting back out on the Charles River probably next week, Tuesday or so, to resume rowing from the month's break I took while we were in Maine. My interview guest this week is Abhi, who runs the influential Kindle review blog at ireader.review.com. He is a consistent source of in-depth, insightful analysis and useful tips about the Kindle, and I'll tell you about his other Kindle-related sites as well. In news, Amazon offers restitution to those whose copies of 1984 it deleted because of a copyright problem. And as of recording time, there was still no announcement yet of a rumored European launch for the Kindle. I'll have two tech tips, one relating to a new firmware for the Kindle 2 and DX, and we'll take a test drive with Abhi's new tool for simple creation of a collection of web links for your Kindle's homepage. In content, I'll preview another new Abhi creation released today that attempts to give readers a way to find a location in a Kindle book from a page number in a physical book and vice versa. I will close with your comments this week, including a trip to France and also how a Kindle helped one listener survive a computer virus. You can subscribe to this podcast at the iTunes and Zune stores or by going to the show notes page. That's at thekindlechronicles.com. With that, let's turn to the news. In Kindle news this week, we have, as longtime radio newsman Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story regarding Amazon's George Orwell snafu. Gizmodo on September 3rd had a post with a tasteless graphic featuring a Kindle screen containing an image of a hand arranged in an obscene gesture, and the headline was, Amazon tries to make amends for deletion of 1984 with warm words, cold hard cash. Rosa Golijan wrote, remember Amazon's remote deletion of all Kindle copies of 1984? Big bro Amazon is trying to make nice by offering affected users some pretty words along with either $30 checks or redelivery of 1984 with your original annotations. Then she listed the text from an email which a Gizmodo reader received from Amazon repeating CEO Jeff Bezos' apologies for the incident. That was quite a while ago, along with the following, which is new. As you were one of the customers impacted by the removal of 1984 from your Kindle device in July of this year, we would like to offer you the option to have us redeliver this book to your Kindle along with any annotations you made. You will not be charged for the book. If you do not wish to have us redeliver the book to your Kindle, you can instead choose to receive an Amazon.com electronic gift certificate or check for $30. And then it says, please email Kindle customer support to indicate your preference and leave an address if you want to have a check sent to you. I, for one, think that's a pretty decent recovery, despite the snarky treatment of it by Gizmodo, and I hope that that closes the book on this incident. It seemed like the response was pretty favorably received in most of the comment on it that I've seen in the last day on the web. In a follow-up to last week's rumor from Stuff.tv that I mentioned, this was that Amazon was going to announce Kindle availability in Europe. Well, I suppose it could still happen because the IFA Consumer Electronics Conference in Berlin does not end until September 9, 5 days from now, and the rumor was that the announcement could come, quote, as soon as the end of that conference. So stay tuned. Maybe there's still hope of an announcement of Kindle being available for purchase in Europe. Time now for the tech tip. Well, wouldn't you know, 2 weeks after I installed the customized screensaver hack, which I talked about in the tech tip 2 weeks ago, I see word that there's a firmware update for the Kindle 2, so now I need to revert to the default screensavers. Otherwise, my Kindle won't be able to wirelessly receive the new firmware. I first saw this news in a post dated September 3rd at Andrei Pushkin's blog, Kindle blog, Google search of Kindle 2.0.4, which is the new firmware number for the Kindle 2, brought me to a Kindle Boards thread that actually began back in early August, August 6. At that time, there were excited speculations that the upgrade might bring folders and PDF native support for the Kindle 2, but so far I have not seen any reports of such improvements from someone who's actually received the update. My Kindle 2 is still at version 2.0.3. The new version is 2.0.4. And my DX, which I didn't put the screensaver hack on, is still at 2.1 instead of the new one, which is 2.1.1. Andre said, he said there does not seem to be an update for the Kindle 1. To see if your Kindle 2 or DX has the update, you need to go to your home screen on the Kindle and then press the menu button. Use the five-way controller to select settings and press the five-way to go to the settings screen. At the very bottom of the screen, you will see version : Kindle 2.0.3, that's for the Kindle 2, and a long number in parentheses. If you are one of the lucky ones to be wirelessly updated, instead you will see version 2.0.4. If you have received an update and notice anything that's changed about the user interface, please let me know as soon as you can by email at podchronicles@gmail.com. I kind of doubt there's going to be anything that really improves the way the Kindle operates, but maybe that they just haven't got it out to many people yet, and once it's more widely distributed, people will start finding out if it really does anything. If you followed my example 2 weeks ago and installed the screensaver hack, you'll need to find the folder on your computer where you downloaded it, and that will be titled something like Kindle 2 underscore screen underscore saver underscore hack hyphen 0.4, a similar name for the DX if you downloaded that one. Within that folder, you will find a file named update Kindle 2 restore default screensavers.bin. With your Kindle attached to your computer with a USB cable, you need to copy that file to the root directory of your Kindle, which is the level in which you can see the documents and other main folders. Then safely eject the Kindle, and from the home screen of your Kindle, press Menu and select Settings. Then press Menu again and select Update Your Kindle. Wait for the process to complete, and when it does and you put your Kindle to sleep, you will see the old familiar default screensavers, Oscar Wilde and his friends, and your Kindle will then be able to wirelessly receive the firmware update when Amazon sends it to your Kindle. Once the 2.0.4 update arrives, you will be able to reinstall the hack to customize your screensavers with your own photos or images. This is a real drawback to that process of customizing the images, and I do love doing it. I think I'll probably go through this each time because I enjoy having my own photos on the Kindle, and if you want to try that, it's not for the faint of heart. Check the show 2 weeks ago, and there's information on how to do it. My second tech tip this week is from Abhi's bookmonk.com site, and that's where he uploads tools that he creates for the Kindle. A recent one that he put up is called Kindle Start Page Tool. Back in episode 54, I described listener Larry Goss's method of creating your own text files with web addresses in them and emailing them to Amazon for conversion to the .azw format, which is what your Kindle uses. The resulting files, once they land on your Kindle's home screen, contain live links to web pages, and this enables you to go places slightly more quickly than you can by opening the experimental browser. Abhi's Start Page Tool, which he created this week, is sort of like a Cadillac version of this process because he has done the work of gathering some popular web links and making it possible for you to easily customize a list of active web links for your Kindle homepage. You can use Abhi's tool directly from your Kindle using the experimental browser, but I found it easier to set things up using my computer and then copying the resulting file to my Kindle with the USB cable. Either way, you'll start out at www.bookmonk, that's bookmonk.com, and then click on number 3 under the most popular links, and that is the item titled New Kindle StartPage tool. If you don't want to enter any of your own web addresses or URLs, you can use one of the three pre-made start pages. Click on either Customize Default, Customize Simple, or Customize Longer, and you'll have a chance to check or uncheck which links you want to include. Maybe you want CNN and BBC, but not the New York Times. Abhi's tool makes that all very easy. If you'd like to add in some of your own URLs, then click on the New Homepage button. One thing to note is that when you enter the URL, do not type http://. Abhi already has that part in the program, so if you enter it, the link won't work. So in the case of my blog, which I added, I didn't enter http://lenedgerly.com. I simply entered lenedgerly.com. One thing I'd recommend is that you check the box at the top of the New Homepage tool that reads, "I'd like to have only one link per line." This makes the list of links easier to read on your Kindle because each web address is listed on its own line. Once you have your start page the way you want it, click on the button that says "Create My Page" at the bottom of the setup page, then click on the link titles Your Start Page. This will be a long line of HTML code. With your Kindle attached to your computer, you simply save it. On the Mac, it's Save Page As. I think the command is similar on the PC. That's under the File menu of your browser. Make sure the file extension that it's saved to says .txt. It has a text extension on it. And then navigate to the Documents folder of your Kindle and save it in that Documents folder of your Kindle. When you safely eject your Kindle, you'll see the start page on the home screen of your Kindle. And when you open it, you'll find a nice list of live links. If you click on them, you move the cursor up and it turns into a little pointer when it detects a link. You'll go directly using the Kindle's experimental browser to that page on the web. It's not fast. We all know that the web browser on the Kindle is not the speediest thing, but we're getting it for free, and it can be pretty handy, especially if you use a system like this to have links available right on your home page. The man who created that start page tool is one of the hardest working people in the Kindle sphere. He goes by just his first name, Abhi, and I reached him by Skype in Vancouver, British Columbia on August 31st. He's a former resident of Seattle, and he runs the Kindle Review blog at iReaderReview.com, where he posts as Switch 11. He also runs a lively Kindle social network at booksummit.com and posts useful creations like the Start Page tool, which I just discussed, at bookmonk.com. I first interviewed Abhi more than 10 months ago for episode 13 of this podcast. At the time, he had begun blogging in depth about the Kindle, but he hadn't been able to buy one because at the time he was living in London. We'll jump into the interview with his answer to my question about what surprised him the most when he was finally able to start using a Kindle himself.
I'll have to say the single biggest surprise has been actually preferring to read on the Kindle than physical books. I have a Kindle One now, which actually I lent out to my friend in Seattle, and I have a Kindle 2 and a DX. Mm-hmm. And the Kindle 2 is just so good for reading. I recently went through a bunch of books on evolutionary psychology, and two of them were only available in print, mm-hmm. but I kept wishing they were available on the Kindle.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. So that preference exerted itself pretty quickly as soon as you started using it.
Probably a few books in.
Yeah.
However, it's very strong now.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, the only books I'll buy in print are poetry because sometimes they just aren't available on the Kindle. So it's really hard to go back, I find. The other thing about your blog, which is fascinating, is first of all, you're very organized. Your posts are generally in kind of an outline format, and there's a real sort of rational progression of your thoughts. It's a very unique and original style that you have in your blog, and it's made me curious just where it comes from.
I do have an engineering degree, and that's part of it. And then the other thing is I did a lot of debating in college and just read up a lot on basically the Greek style of debating, which is very structured and uses a lot of rhetoric. And I think perhaps unconsciously I tend to use the same progressions sort of model for the writing too.
So kind of a combination of engineering and debate experience.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. You've been talking, I think a recent one that I read, a lot of the features that might be coming in the next Kindle. And you've talked about the Kindle 3. I haven't seen anybody else actually sort of use that term. And I'm wondering, have you seen any rumors coming out of Amazon or elsewhere or from overseas? Or are you basically just assuming that there is going to be a next model and calling it the Kindle 3 and working back to what features it might have?
I'm just assuming there's going to be a new model, and I'm calling it Kindle 3. Although what Amazon is moving towards is they just want to have Kindle and then like let the generations progress and have a Kindle and a Kindle DX.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're not going to have Kindle 2 and Kindle 3 going forward.
Yeah, it's a little awkward because when they tried to say there's just a DX and a Kindle, it pretty well orphaned the lots of people who I assume have the Kindle 1. What do they call that?
Yeah, I think they're trying to go with the iPod model where they just want to say first generation, second generation, third generation, but they're all iPods.
Yeah, I suppose that's the model. Have you purchased any other e-readers like the Sony or?
Yeah, I just bought a Sony Reader Touch Edition last week, and I put up a few video comparisons of it with the Kindle.
Oh, yeah, I did see those.
Yeah.
And do you think you'll be getting the Daily Edition when it comes out?
It'll be tough because the Daily Edition, like the main selling point, wouldn't apply to Canada, I think.
Oh, because their wireless won't be available there. It'll just be the U.S.?
Yeah, and there's not much of a difference because there's just a 1-inch screen difference. It's not like Kindle and the DX where you get like a much bigger screen with the DX.
Right.
I'm very impressed by the Sony Reader's touch abilities, though, especially the freehand scribbling.
Uh-huh.
Reading isn't as much fun on it, which is strange. It's almost like I prefer the Sony for when I just want to pass some time or, you know, scribble or something for 15, 20 minutes. But for reading, the Kindle is much better.
Why do you think the Kindle seems better to read on?
It might just be, you know, the way some people don't want to move away from a book because now they have all those positive associations with the book.
Right.
The other thing is the Sony Reader, because of the touch layer or whatever they've used to do the touch, has a little more reflection on it.
Uh-huh.
Basically, the Kindle does a better job of disappearing.
Yeah.
So there are all these features which Amazon gets, you know, requests for. Even something like folders, which would be super helpful, would, to a small extent, take away from reading.
Mm-hmm.
And features like touch do, because when I have like the touch edition in my hand, I'm tempted to almost start scribbling things instead of actually continue my reading.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think it's pretty subtle but powerful the way they've resisted things which might interrupt the flow, and there's always a good case to do something which might have that as a downside. Do you have a kind of a reader in mind for your blog? Who do you picture when you're writing your posts?
So I basically picture three sets of people. So the first set of people, which is what it originally started off as, is people who are looking for an unbiased review.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of flack from people because people have very strong beliefs in DRM and, you know, the people who love Sony a lot, the people who love Kindle a lot. But the main aim is anyone who's trying to decide what e-reader to buy gets a good review. Like, you can take a look at, like, the Sony review I had and the PRS 600. I was very impressed by that. I actually went ahead and bought it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I'm only buying Kindle.
Right.
That's the first category. What's happened, though, is as I've been blogging, the more important category has been people who are interested in what's happening with publishing, what's happening with the Kindle, what are the different things you can do with the Kindle. So it's almost like making the whole Kindle ecosystem better,
right?
Whether it's coding, you know, the search tool or the start page tool, or it's writing about where e-readers might be headed. It's basically focused on people who have an interest in the future of reading in general and e-readers in particular.
Do you see the sort of more coverage of the Sony devices as they, I mean, you've got one now and kind of equal coverage, or still more of a focus on the Kindle?
I think it's mostly going to be a 50 to 70% Kindle-related blog. Mm-hmm. However, as Sony introduces more and more features, a really good example is when you're looking at two competitors, you get a much better insight of the Kindle just by looking at its competitors, and you also come up with new features. For example, I did a post on how to use free Google Books for the Kindle.
Right.
And it actually involves registering on Sony's store and actually using their free EPUB books and converting it for the Kindle. Mm-hmm. Because Sony's store is the easiest way to get free Google Books. Otherwise, Google makes it really, really difficult to find their free books.
Right. So you'll basically go wherever it's most helpful to go.
Yeah. And I don't see it changing very much from Kindle and Sony for the next 2 to 3 years. Apple might come in and take maybe 30-40% of the market share, but the dedicated readers are going to stay with Kindle and Sony, and mostly Kindle, actually,
yeah,
unless Sony does something big.
Do you think you'll be buying the iPad or the whatever the Apple device is so that you can compare that? There's a limit to our budgets here.
Yeah. Actually, I've never owned an iPod. I've bought iPods for my sisters, but I've never bought one for myself. So I'm not very inclined to buy a lot of Apple products.
Uh-huh. That would be a big step if you crossed over to buy something from Apple.
Yeah, I might be forced to, though, because basically saying that I'm reviewing the Kindle and a review is basically a recommendation. If I say, yeah, it's a 9 on 10, which is what I feel the Kindle 2 is, it's a recommendation. And one reason to buy the Sony, and I guess a reason that I will end up buying an Apple iPad, will be to do the comparison and to see whether I'm actually right or it's just me being biased because that's the only thing I'm used to.
Right. Yeah, and if you're giving an evaluation like that, it's sort of in a vacuum if you're not familiar with the other options.
Yeah.
A lot of your blog, the reason I love it is the strategic thinking and analysis. And it strikes me that it's the kind of work that a consultant might do if, I don't know if Amazon hires people to help them do strategic planning and things like that. But if Jeff Bezos were to hire you to come in and at a pretty high level to just think strategy, what would be the top few things that you would recommend that he do to continue the success of the Kindle and take it where it should go?
The one sentence answer would be is Amazon probably has a think team which has thought 10 times more about this than pretty much anyone else.
Yeah.
And they're probably 5-10 years ahead of everyone else in terms of they just need traction. If they get traction, they're going to be unstoppable. Apple is the only thing that can stop them at this point. I don't think there's anything else that can stop them from dominating publishing completely.
Yeah. Wow. How about the EPUB move? I mean, Sony, I guess that's kind of a standard practice. When somebody's close to establishing a standard, then all of a sudden you become the champion of no standards or openness.
Exactly.
But there also seems like there's a lot of argument for the Kindle to be able to read EPUB documents and to have EPUB on the Kindle store. And Bezos had made that statement, I think, back in the Wired conference that there would be other formats on the Kindle. So what's your analysis just on that strategic move?
I think the two ways to approach the issue. The first approach is from the customer's perspective, where it's what's best for the customer.
Right.
And what is customer behavior telling you? And I think what Jeff Bezos is basically indicating is if customers tend to be saying that's what we want, then Amazon will go with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the other approach is the whole philosophical concept of making things free and open, which it makes no sense for Amazon to go with because they have a big lead in the market, or at least some amount of lead in the market. And it's a strategy which some companies use really, really well. This whole concept of if you're second or third to market, try to go with the whole we're trying to do the best thing for the customer approach.
Right.
But I don't think any company would be stupid enough to fall for it unless customers start falling for it.
Yeah, and I think, too, that, well, a fellow I spoke with last week, Bufo Calvin, was based on his interaction with Kindle users at the Amazon forum. He's got a strong sense that maybe the majority of people who have flocked to the Kindle are not technically oriented. They're more people who love to read. And I would suspect that group isn't clamoring to be able to read things in the EPUB format.
Yeah, that's actually exactly what it is. It's people care about being able to read the book. They care about having access to their books for their lifetime and being able to read it on the other devices. And if you look at the basically a few very vocal anti-DRM proponents, and it's completely justified because they should totally do what they believe in. However, a site like Boing Boing, where Cory Doctorow, like every few weeks he comes up with one new angle to attack the Kindle and its lack of openness, what they're trying to do is they're trying to look at issues that people, like end users, might have actual concern with, like saying that the number of downloads is limited or you might lose your book forever.
Right.
Which is what's beginning to cause a few problems. But in general, in terms of EPUB itself, most people don't even understand what format is. Yeah. If they can read text on the Kindle, great.
How about the library capability that all of the Sony readers have now? And it's pretty appealing. It looks like there's not that many titles in any given library that you can use with it, but it's sure an appealing thing to think that you could wirelessly tap into your local library.
Yeah, it's very appealing. It's one of those features where you wish you would have thought of it first. And right. I don't know if you've actually tried it out. I couldn't actually download it onto the Kindle because I don't have an account, but I went to some of the Seattle libraries and I looked at the sort of interface OverDrive provides.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very simple, but it is usable.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some books that were interesting. There were, I guess for an average user, they'd probably be able to find 10-20 books that are interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So Amazon is in a difficult position because they've got these very valuable customers who are buying 1, 2, 5, 10 books a month from them.
Right.
On the Kindle. Now, if a competitor is coming in and saying, I have 1 million free books from Google or have free books from your library, those customers are, it's a distraction for paying customers because every free book they buy, first of all, we don't even know whether they want to read public domain books or free books from the library.
Right.
But even if they do, it takes away from the revenue stream of Kindle books.
Yeah.
And perhaps it's not the worst thing in the world to lose people who want to do nothing except read free books.
Yeah, maybe it's they'd be glad to send all of those customers that they can to Sony.
Yep.
And,
it's basically Apple's strategy, right? Apple is looking for premium customers. They don't really care too much about people who want to buy $5 phones.
Yeah, yeah. That was Mike Elgin's take on the Amazon strategy, which was that they really have managed to key in on people who buy a lot of books. And those are the ones that were most likely, because they go to the Amazon store so often, they saw more ads for the Kindle than anyone else. And so they may be a higher percentage of the Kindle user base than any other category.
Yeah, even if you look at, or rather listen to the numbers that they talk about, 35% of sales for books that are available in both Kindle and print versions are for Kindle editions.
Yeah.
That seems to indicate that a lot of the frequent buyers are on the Kindle now.
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, good. Well, anything else you want to talk about that's got your attention these days or coming up in the near future?
I think the most interesting thing to me right now is what happens in the next 6 months. And I think there's a big opportunity for Amazon to release the Kindle 3 early, maybe have Oprah do another endorsement or figure some other way to get it a lot of buzz and capture a large share of the market, especially if Apple doesn't release till next year. If they miss it, then it'll be two holiday seasons in a row where they've not made as much of a gain as they could.
Yeah, that's right. I would think they have pretty bad memories of last Christmas when they know so many tens of thousands of sales were missed.
Yeah, and it goes to competitors, so it's even worse.
Yeah. I saw as in the airport in Boston today, there was some kind of an automat machine of Sony products, and I don't know which reader it was, but you could just automatically...
You could just buy it at the airport?
Yeah, right at the concourse.
Oh, wow.
It was amazing. And, you know, and at some point, it's a huge advantage to be able to sell them on the Kindle store and have all that advertising free on the website. But when the Sony readers are everywhere in the bookstores and Best Buy and all that, at some point, that you'd think that would have an effect as well.
Yeah, and I think it becomes even more of a concern now that Sony has better offerings. It's not until the daily edition gets here with the wireless capability that you have, you know, an out-and-out competitor. Mm-hmm. However, the touch is pretty good. If you can get by without wireless, it's pretty good.
Do you think people are going to, when they understand that the Sony wireless only goes to the Sony store and there isn't a web browser in it, that will kind of take the bloom off the rose?
It's hard to say at this point. However, the pull of internet access is pretty big. If you look at the forums, if you look at what people are writing about, a lot of it is things like Wikipedia, how to get Wikipedia articles on the Kindle, how to use email on the Kindle, free book sites.
Right.
And all of that just isn't possible with the Sony. And I went through the Sony buying experience, and you actually have to download a software and run that and buy through it.
Yeah.
And you have to verify your computer. You have to verify your Sony reader.
Yeah.
And you have to sign into the store application before you can do one-touch, one-click buying.
Yeah. Do they have one-click buying, though? What, there is a way so that you don't have to enter your credit card every time?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. It's still a lot of steps, though. It's something like 4 or 5 different steps, and you have to do it on your computer.
Yeah.
So it will be a big advantage to be able to do it via the Sony Daily Edition. Mm-hmm. However, without all the advantages of free internet access, basically the $30, $40 a month, or perhaps people just value it as $15, $20 a month worth of free internet access from your Kindle, isn't there on the Sony.
Yeah, that's right. Good. Well, great, Abhi. Appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. It's always fun to read your blog, and I just always learn a lot. It's you're sort of Professor Kindle to me.
Thank you.
I want to thank Abhi for all he does for Kindle users with his blog and other sites, and to give my enthusiastic recommendation to his iReaderReview.com blog. If you haven't checked it out yet and you are fascinated by all things Kindle, you are in for a real treat. Time now for content, and I'll include an item that just came in as I was preparing the show today. Abhi today has released a new tool designed to help locate physical page numbers in a Kindle book. This came out of an email suggestion to Abhi from Andris Baston of kindleworld.blogspot.com. She asked if he might be able to create a tool for this purpose. It's quite timely because of the Kindle DX experiments that are going to be taking place at 5 universities this fall. You can find the tool at bookmonk.com, and it's called Kindle Page Number Tool. I just tried it using a paperback and a Kindle edition of Getting Things Done, a book by David Allen. The reason I say this is timely because of the tests at the universities is I can imagine situations where there is material assigned from a book or some kind of a printed piece, and the challenge is going to be to find those page numbers from a physical text on the Kindle, which is organized by locations. So I tried the tool, and rather than walk you through the details of my test, I'm simply going to say that the results for the particular book that I did try were not as good as what Abhi and Andris obtained in their tests. I entered data in the various fields, such as number of locations in the Kindle edition, the locations for first and last chapters, and then the physical book page numbers for first and last chapters as well. Then I entered a page number. I chose at random page 123, which is halfway through the physical book, Getting Things Done. And then I clicked on Find Location next to the label in Abhi's tool, which is marked Find Approximate Location of for a page number. The location which it calculated turned out to be more than 5 Kindle screens off from the location that actually contained the text of page 123 in my physical book. Now, the book I chose was a difficult one for this process because the text is broken up with subheads and text boxes and notes in the margin. That said, many textbooks will also have text that is not a simple wash of unbroken prose, page after page. But what I love is Andrus's inspiration and Abhi's willingness to try something out on this topic, and I'm sure that he will tweak it, perhaps with help from listeners who give it a try and are technically oriented. Students doing homework on Kindles will probably need a way to find locations and text by page numbers, and I think this is a credible first attempt at meeting the challenge. If this is a topic that interests you, I urge you to check out the new tool at bookmonk.com and give Abhi feedback on how it works for you. We've got a couple of comments this week. Pat Hahn emailed saying she had voted for my Taming the Kindle panel proposal at southbysouthwest.com interactive. I'll have more on that later. And she added, my Kindle really helped me out last night. This morning, I somehow got a virus on my computer. I was able to use Kindle to get help by email and searching for stuff online. What did we ever do before we got our Kindles? Fred Zelders emailed, hey Len, listening to TKC 57 while on holidays in France. I want to let you know that I want to stay subscribed to the mailing list. Regards and au revoir from Fred. You can leave an audio comment to the podcast, and I love getting listeners' voices on the show. It's easy to do. You just dial 206-666-2713, and then you just leave a brief message. It'll be recorded, and then I can use it on the show. Just speak right into the phone. I've sometimes found that the volume levels are not great, and I have to kind of boost them up in editing. So speak right up and leave me a message. I'd love it. You can also leave email comments for me at podchronicles@gmail.com. And you can also leave a comment on the show notes page. That is at thekindlechronicles.com. If you'd like to be included in my Kindled Spirits email alert list, please drop me an email at podchronicles@gmail.com. I send everyone on that list an email the moment that I've uploaded a new episode, as well as occasional alerts on late-breaking Kindle news. And once in a while, when I'm doing an interview, I'll send out a request to the folks on that list for ideas of good questions to ask. So it's a fun way to participate a little more directly in the program. I want to thank those of you who have voted for my proposed Kindle panel for readers and authors at the South by Southwest Interactive Conference. And the panel picker is at sxsw.com/interactive, and then look for panel picker. It was scheduled to close today, September 4th at midnight, but they have extended it till midnight. I believe that's Central Time on Monday, September 7th. So if you're listening to this podcast before midnight, Monday, September 7th, and you could take a moment to give a thumbs up to my proposal, that would increase my chances of being one of about 300 out of more than 2,000 proposals that have been submitted for the South by Southwest Interactive Conference in Austin, Texas, next March. If you go to sxsw.com/interactive, you just search on my last name, Edgerly, E-D-G-E-R-L-Y. You'll come to a page where you can click on a thumbs up item. And once you have to create a South by Southwest user account, which is a pretty quick process. And you don't have to plan on attending the conference in order to participate in the panel picker. But if you like that kind of thing, there'll be about 10,000 people there. It's a wild way to just see what's happening in digital social media space. And I hope I'll be there and maybe see you at the workshop if I get a chance to put it on. Music for my podcast is Ramonk by Eval Monegat on the Variations in Time, a Jazz Perspective CD by Public Transit Recording, courtesy of IODA Promonet. This is Len Edgerly from Cambridge, Massachusetts for the Kindle Chronicles. I really appreciate your taking the time to listen to my podcast. Have a great day. Bye.